Welcome to Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is our episode on conflict resolution. This is pillar number 3.
No conflict today, baby.
Never. I'd like to open on a quote from Max Lucado that says, "Conflict is inevitable. Combat is optional."
True that. So, conflict resolution, this is one of our three pillars, kind of the third of our three C's. And we've done deep dives on commitment and communication. And we're not going to teach you how to fight. That's definitely not. We're going to talk about fighting fair, for sure, and how to eliminate fights, maybe even before they happen. And kind of hearkening back to our first pillar on commitment. So I want to use an analogy of the trapeze, you know, those trapeze artists that we all see in the circus or performers. And when you see them up there, more often than not, they have a safety net because mistakes happen and being an expert at your craft is not worth dying for. And relationships are no different. And really, in our relationships, our number one relationship with our spouse, if we have solid, unwavering commitment, that is the safety net under our relationship, just like the trapeze artist who's up there trying difficult things, because relationships are messy, they're dirty, but they're also wonderful. And when we have that solid commitment that's undergirding the relationship, that gives us the safety net to know that really in conflict resolution especially, no issue is going to dissolve this relationship. We're not going to allow or let anything derail us so we can feel safe and comfortable approaching, discussing, and really going after anything. So if you don't feel that way about your relationship, if you don't feel there's that safety net there, it's kind of an indicator there may be an opportunity to strengthen that commitment and really get clear definition on what it is. Because we're going forward today, Kim and I have this in our relationship, and I hope you do too. We're going to give you some tools and skills to work on that'll help you be more effective in conflict resolution. Because really, this conflict resolution is a skill, isn't it? It's learned. You got to practice it. You have to develop it. You have to grow it and learn how to use it. Because we are firm believers. We've learned that there's three states in every relationship, and you're in one of these three states at all times. The first is you're leaning in, meaning you're turning towards your spouse and you are loving and open. The second is leaning away, meaning you're actively disengaging from your spouse. You're choosing not to engage. And the third is leaning against. You're hunkering down. You're preparing for fight. And to be effective in conflict resolution, you got to be leaning in. If you're in one of those other two states, Kim, you really can't resolve anything, can you?
I agree. And I think what you really have to be aware of is emotional disengagement. Emotional disengagement, just sort of turning away and not even engaging at all, is it's a scary place to be in a relationship. I think it's dangerous, and I think it is actually a predictor of divorce.
What is it? So what happens when somebody's emotionally disengaged? What's the risk there? What's the danger? What's happening?
Well, they're not engaging at all. They're refusing to do any of the things that you just mentioned. You're not leaning in. You're not leaning away. You're not even leaning against. You are turning away and refusing to participate.
And dangerous things happen, right, when you're emotionally disengaged, because we all attach to something, right?
That's exactly right. And when we're not attaching to each other, we will find something else to attach to. And in most cases, it does not bid very well for our relationship.
A lot of negative influences come in and would love to take roost and hang out. So when we're talking about conflict resolution and problems, Kim, is everything solvable in a relationship? Can we solve all the issues and have a clean slate?
No, I think that problems are inevitable, and perpetual problems are always going to be there, right? It's the manner in which we deal with them. And in many cases, we learn how to accept them. That's important. We have to learn how to manage our world And in managing that, we manage our environment so as to minimize those conflicts and those perpetual problems. There's been research done by the Gottmans, who you and I really believe are sort of the godmother and godfathers of marriage therapy. And they say that there's only 31% of issues that are actually solvable.
One third
that are actually solvable. Those relationships, that means 65% of perpetual problems are going to be just continuing to reoccur, right?
So what do we do? What do we do with the, how do we handle those things that we, if we can only solve 31%, 69% things we can't solve, what are we doing with those 69% of all those conflicts?
That's a great question. Good relationships are characterized by dialogue rather than coming to gridlock with each other.
So that means you got to keep talking.
You've got to keep talking. We've got to keep communicating. When partners can learn to accept humor, affection, discussion rather than gridlock, then they're going to be a little more successful at resolving those problems.
Right. So it's about understanding, right? We have to seek to understand and what's going on or why the other spouse feels the way that they do and what's motivating them, where did it come from, and why is it important to them, right? So conflict resolution is not about changing our spouse's thoughts, right? So it's not about me winning and getting you to change your feelings on something or your history, or it's not about me convincing you to change, right?
Right. You're not going to really convince me to change, but what you are going to do is seek to understand me better, right? To understand why I'm having those feelings or those thoughts, or why this problem continues to rear its ugly head, right? And maybe I'm being triggered by something that happened in my past, or I have something that came out of my family of origin that that I'm dealing with and that might trigger me to have an issue.
So how do we go about managing conflict? What are the things, like, let's kind of get into it for just a moment and say, this is it's a learned skill, right? And there's things we can or should do and things we shouldn't do. What are some of the things that we can do when we're finding ourselves in conflict? How do we manage and navigate those waters?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. And I think there are several things that we can do and that we should practice doing when we have conflict, right? Because we have to learn how to be better. We're not just naturally going to be better. I think human tendency is to go in and try to fix, or to go in and try to be defensive. And I feel like we have to practice the good skills, learn how to manage the conflict to be able to resolve or get even beyond it. Maybe we're not going to resolve it, but we're going to get beyond it.
And as an active member of the male species, I will admit that we love to come in and fix, guys. We like to say, here's a solution. Let me fix it. Let me resolve it. Get it off the plate. Get it off the table. And, you know, that's a behavior that we have to unlearn a little bit in conflict resolution, because it's not about solving your spouse's issue. It's not necessarily about solving your issue. It's about communication and understanding. And I think that, you know, one of the things I know, Kim, that we've talked about before is a soft startup. So when tempers are hot, or I know that there's something that is a hot button for you, I can saddle up next to you and come in with a soft startup and say, so I remember when we had this conversation about this issue, you felt really strongly. Can you help me understand why this issue is really a hot button for you, right? You know, come in with some easy softball questions that are going to invite your spouse to dialogue and start that conversation in a soft, easy way, right?
Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you said you have to come in and say, I feel I need, maybe what I heard you say was this. In one of our episodes where we interviewed a couple, I remember someone saying, the manner in which you say it is the manner in which it is received, right? And I thought that was such a great point.
Right. And I think it's about I and you. When you're in conflict, you're not commenting and saying what the other person did, but you're saying, I feel, I need, or when this happened, I felt this way. So because in using those I statements, you're communicating your state in an effort to help your spouse understand. And then reflecting back, your spouse can come back and say, well, this is how I felt, and this is what I needed in the situation, and this is why it's important to me.
Sure. I think another way to manage conflict well is to accept influence rather than batting it and throwing it back at your partner. Be a good listener. Give, take.
Right. Accepting influence is a huge indicator. The Gottmans find out in more of their research that a spouse's ability to accept influence from their spouse, meaning I value your opinions as my own. That's accepting influence and agreeing and saying how you feel, what you say, and what you do has as much value as my own opinion that I may have about something. And there's really always two realities, aren't there? One of the things that I think is critical to know is that we each, everybody in every situation, has the right to feel how they feel. You're not wrong. You can't say, well, you can't feel that way. You can't think that, because that's not giving permission to your spouse to feel the way they feel. And there's always two realities. What I feel and think is very real to me, and you're just as strong and steadfast in what you feel. And acknowledging and understanding that, there's a truth in it for everybody.
Yeah,
right?
That's something I've recently come to learn, is that everybody has their own truth, right? We all have our own perception and reality of what has taken place.
And it doesn't mean that I'm accepting it for me, right? It doesn't mean if you feel a certain way, I don't have to feel the same way.
Right.
But I need to validate and make sure that you know that I understand how you feel and why you feel that way, right?
Right. And you may just say something as simple as, I can understand how you see it that way, right?
Right, right. And there's always, in every conflict, guys, it's unusual that both spouses are playing the same role. There's almost always a pursuer, and there's almost always a distancer, right? And hey, in our relationship, I'm usually the pursuer, because when the conflict arises, I want to get it out, I want to talk about it, and I want to solve it in that minute. And Kim's a little different, because she's more the distancer, where she's saying, I need time to marinate, I want to think about it, I want to collect myself, and it may be a half a day, it may be a day, maybe 2 or 3 days. And early in our relationship, that drove me nuts, because I'd be like, I feel like I'm in limbo for a couple of days. But all Kim was doing was processing how she was feeling and formulating her thought and really making sure it was in line with her principles, and then we could come back and have effective. So there's nothing wrong with being the pursuer. There's nothing wrong with being the distancer, just understanding. And you know what? On different issues, sometimes we have different roles because we feel differently about those issues, and that's okay. So it's understanding the dance and the style of your spouse, your partner, and allowing them what they need to get there. Because it's not always right to solve an issue in the moment right when it's happening, is it? I mean, sometimes you got to take a break, take a time out, let cooler heads prevail. And we'll talk about more of that in a minute. When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder how you're doing? We found that there are 13 key components that make up a thriving relationship, which is why we've created the Kick-Ass Assessment. In this powerful free tool, you'll learn what they are and how you and your spouse are ranking in each one. And you'll get recommendations that will help you start improving today. To get your results, simply visit MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. It's time to start kicking ass. Let's go. Anything else, Kim, that you feel about the process that we got to share with our listeners or talk about?
Yeah, I think that we have to really be aware of and intentional about de-escalating negativity. And how do we do that? I think that we have to practice being calm and speaking softly. And again, using those statements, you know, I feel, I need. I think it's really important because things can rapidly go down the rabbit hole, so to speak. And I think we have to be aware of our body language, of the level at which we're speaking and how we're speaking to one another.
I agree. And, you know, we're going to give you guys kind of an example to frame some of our further discussion that's coming in here. There was a time that we were getting ready for a party.
We're not there yet.
Oh, we're not there yet. No. I thought we were going there after.
We are.
Okay.
However, we're not finished with managing conflict.
Oh, okay. I thought we were. No. What else? Let's talk about a few more things in conflict process.
So I also think that another thing that we can do to manage conflict is really have some repair attempts, as well as the de-escalation. We bring in humor. We ask each other, hey, how can we compromise on this? Or what are your core needs here? What are you really asking? What do you really need of me right now? Right? I think that's such an important question, because the argument or the conflict may not be at all about what we're discussing. And it could be something as simple as taking out the trash, right? It could be me saying, how come you never take out the trash? I asked you to take out the trash. And it's really my argument or my core belief within that I'm having within myself isn't anything about with I'm angry about that the trash didn't get taken out. It's I'm angry because you didn't hear me and you're not listening to me. And I don't feel heard or loved.
That's great. And I think Chris Cambus, the co-author on my book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex, he said, you got to figure out what's the dream within the conflict. Mm-hmm. Because there's a conflict, but the dream means, what do you really want? What's the underlying issue? Or what do you want to happen here? Like Kim said, the conflict is not, hey, you didn't take the trash out and I asked you to. The conflict is, she's asked me to do something, anything multiple times, and I haven't done it. So the conclusion she's drawing in that situation, that example, is he doesn't listen to me. He doesn't value my opinion. He doesn't care about what's important to me. Those are all the messages she's getting by my refusal to do something, or my inability or an awareness or not prioritizing something in the moment. So the dream within the conflict is, what would you like to see happen out of this situation? What's really going on? And you can use those words right to your spouse. You can say, what's the dream you have within this conflict? How would you really like to see it resolved? Because isn't that where we want to get? We want to get out of friction. As one of our, Pastor Brad White said, he said, I can't live in friction. I want to get out of there. So what do I have to do in this discussion to resolve and get to where we both want to be?
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about managing conflict. Can you give me an example of a time when you and I had a blow up? I'm not talking about just a little take out the trash challenge, but a really big blow up that we can sort of dissect.
Sure. I think of one. When we were getting ready for a party that we were going to have at our house, there was a large to-do list. Sometimes, you know, we have a honey-do list where there's things that you'd like to get done, and you've lovingly learned how to communicate that, so I'm open to receive it. And unfortunately, at this time, we were not in one of those places. And Kim had said, hey, there's some LED lights that we want to string up outside to get ready for this party, ready for the holidays. So my son was home, our middle son, and I said, come on, you're going to help me hang these lights. And I went and did it how I thought it should be done, or how she'd want it done, right? So time went by, she came out of her office, she came out and saw how I'd hung these holiday lights. She said, what did you do? And I said, well, I hung the lights. She goes, yeah, that's not how I really wanted them hung. Weren't you going to come ask me? And, you know, I had a specific vision. And I said, well, why didn't you communicate that? And we had a blow up, not a little, a big one. And it took a few days to resolve and understand. I thought I was doing what I was going to get kudos for because I was doing it, but I wasn't doing it in a way or a manner that she had envisioned because I didn't communicate and seek first to understand. I just made some assumptions and acted on those assumptions. So we kind of got in a rift and a tiff and
yes,
had some issues about it, didn't we?
Well, and I will say again, me being a total work in progress, I have learned how to approach those things differently. But at that time, I was not handling conflict well in our relationship. And I did go down that rabbit hole very quickly. And was I spiraled out of, I was angry because I had planned this party and I knew exactly how I wanted everything to look and to feel. And I had asked for days and days for the lights to get put up and they hadn't got put up. And so when they did get put up, they were put up obviously not to what I was hoping they would be. But I did spiral downward. And I think what happens at that point in time is, you know, I can get critical. And then you become defensive. And so all these other things kind of come into play.
Yeah. What happens, Kim? Talk about Kim a little bit. What happens to us psychologically when we're in conflict? What happens to our physiological state and condition?
Well, so I know for me, I can go from 0 to 60 really quickly. And that is definitely something that I'm working on. And one of the challenges that I have really worked hard to overcome. And I think what happens is we have a physiological arousal that occurs when we get really angry. It's an alarm response that happens and our heart rate increases, right? We have decreased blood supply to a lot of our organs, important organs. We have decreased cortisol levels. We have a decreased frontal lobe activation that occurs. And when all those things happen together, it affects our ability to intake information. It affects our ability to hear. It affects our ability to reason. So we've stopped listening. We can't problem solve. And we can't empathize with the person that we're having a quarrel with. So it becomes really hard to manage our emotions and we've spiraled downward. And then, you know, then the four horsemen come into play. And can you maybe tell our listeners a little bit about what those are?
I will. So that process Kim's talking about, you probably have all heard fight or flight, right? Everything's raging. We're coming up and we're either getting ready to fight or defend. It's that animal instinct, or to flee and get out of there, right? Neither of which are going to have positive results in that moment. So when that happens, those four horsemen come in, and there's kind of an acronym CCDS. And those four horsemen that John Gottman talks about is the first one is criticism. So we're going to be critical, right? It's defensive. Oh, yeah? Well, what about this? So we go on attack and we criticize. The second one is contempt. We may say nothing, but in our head, that internal dialogue, a psychological dialogue is going, oh, I can't believe them. They always do this, right? We're building up contempt, resentment, and anger inside in that moment. We become defensive, right? Because we feel we're being attacked. So we're going to defend, and we're going to defend us. We're going to defend other people, and we're giving excuses and maybe not using a lot of logic, but we're closing down and putting up that barrier, or we stonewall, right? Okay, they're going to talk, blah, 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 but I'm not going to hear anything, and I am not going to respond. I'm not going to engage, and I am going to shut them out. And those are the four horsemen that want to ride in and really have a negative impact on our relationship. And, you know, I want to make sure that you all know in conflict resolution, it's really important. Everybody has the right to feel the way you do and express how you feel without condemnation or judgment. And it's really important that in any conflict that you give your spouse, your partner, the right to feel and express how they feel without condemnation or judgment. Because if you don't, those four horsemen seem to ride in and show up. And if they do, those are the things that destroy relationships, unless you have the antidote and you work against that.
I agree. I think that, you know, you cannot come from a position of superiority. The one I worry about the most, Matthew, is contempt. Because when you come from a position of superiority, it is very detrimental to your relationship. And I think it's another great predictor of divorce.
It is. It is. And so, Kim, is if anything, when you think about men and women and our different responses, any what do you, relative to conflict resolution, what do you think that you and I talked about a little before, and you said you feel there's something that men need to kind of have a watch out for?
I know. I think if I could give advice to men, it would be that in general, I think women really need to talk about and express their feelings. And if you've had a bad day, or maybe something has gone on, you know, in the household with the kids, with the family, and you're bringing it up to your spouse, a lot of times women will bring it up in almost a heated way. But it's not because they are in conflict or they are coming at their spouse. It's just that they need to get it off of their plate. They need to discuss it. They need to talk about it. There's just this really big, I believe, need for women to decompress by speaking what has happened. And I think a lot of husbands feel attacked, that they're coming at them, when in fact it has nothing to do with them at all. They just need to get it out, to be heard. And they just need, in many cases, to have an ally.
Right, right. Women externalize and want to talk about things out here. Yeah. And men tend, not always, but to internalize and maybe not share and be as open. So what I heard you saying is a watch out for guys, and I think it's a great pearl, good advice, is that we need to be good listeners, and we need to ask probing questions and get them to talk more about those feelings. And then hopefully we can do a little empathic listening and reflect back. So what I hear you saying is, right? And you need to ask those questions and say those things until they say, that's exactly right. That's how I feel. Yeah. Because when a woman feels, when anybody feels heard and understood, they feel safe. And it helps dissipate a lot of those issues that may be going on behind the scenes. Because you really, in the end, don't you have to decide in your relationship, is your relationship more important than being right on any particular issue, right? I mean, because it's not about winning and losing and, hey, my opinion won the day. But it's really about, you know, Denny and Amber Locascio, one of the first interviews we did, they have a saying, and it's a great pearl. They said, are you willing to die on the mountain for this issue? In other words, is your opinion more important than the love of your spouse? And my opinion on anything is not more important than the love I have for my spouse. Kind of that art of compromise, right?
I agree.
A lot of compromise in marriage, and remembering that it's win-win, isn't it? I mean, it's got to be good for you, and it's got to be good for me. And most importantly, it's got to be good for us. What else do you have? What else do you think about conflict resolution? That anything that we're leaving on the table?
I mean, this is a hot topic, and there is a lot to unpack with it. But I feel like we've given our listeners a really good platform to work from when it comes to managing conflict.
Yeah, some of the things that you need to do. This is our third pillar, conflict resolution, the three C's. If you're wondering how you're doing in your relationship and you want to take our assessment, it's free online. You can go to MatthewPHoffman.com and take that assessment on yourself and also your relationship on your spouse, and then get together and see how you're doing in all 13 of those pillars. And we would invite you to do that. We'd love to interact and engage with you there. Kick-Ass Couples Nation has a lot of resources. And I kind of want to leave you with two things. One thing that's important with any conflict, when you've talked it out, you've heard each other, and you've had your peace, I would encourage you to end with loving affirmations, physical contact, hugs, and kissing. Definitely kissing. And I don't mean just little pecks here and there, But if you're not holding a kiss for at least 7 seconds, there's a study that was done saying when you hold a kiss with your spouse for 7 seconds, there's electricity and sparks, and it has a much deeper feeling. So go for that 7-second kiss at the end, because you can't help but have a smile on your face when you pull away from that. And I'm going to leave you with one more quote also. This is from William Ellery Channing, and he said, "Difficulties are meant to rouse, not discourage. The human spirit is to grow strong by conflict." So let's remember that. Thanks for joining us today. We hope to hear and see you again. And remember, happily ever after does not just happen.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's upcoming book, Kick-Ass Husband: Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away.
Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.